Welcome to the Education Marketing Leader Podcast with Chris Raposo. If you're looking to dive into the latest industry insights, draw inspiration from education success stories, or just want to sharpen your marketing skills, you're in the right place. Here, we bring you a diverse range of voices from experts and leaders in the field, offering you a unique blend of professional development and practical strategies. Whether you want to understand your audience better, stay updated with the latest tech trends in marketing, or expand your professional network, we've got you covered. So while you're driving on your morning commute or winding down after a busy day, let's explore the dynamic world of education marketing together.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Education Marketing Leader with Chris Raposo. Today, my guest is joining me from MBO EDU. Her name is Jennifer Longcar, and the topic today is Performance TV in Higher Ed, Blending Cinematic Storytelling with Measurable Enrollment Impact, something we all need. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Big shout out to Kevin Renton for introducing me to Jennifer. He told me Jennifer is good people when I had him on my show. I reached out to her and she agreed to be a part of the Education Marketing Leader.
I love Kevin. Sending thanks to Kevin. He is amazing.
Yes, for sure. So let's get started with this. Can you start by explaining for people who don't know, like me, before I met you, what Performance TV is and how it fits into the broader landscape of higher education marketing?
Sure. So Performance TV, I mean, in a nutshell, the easiest way to describe it is streaming. So if you think about when you're watching commercials on any of your streaming platforms, so Hulu, Paramount, Peacock, Amazon, you name it. Performance TV is streaming commercials, 30 seconds usually. But what makes it performance, the performance in PTV, is the fact that we can actually measure results. So being able to see after someone is exposed to a commercial, what are they doing afterwards? Where are they going on your website? How are they interacting with you? And then being able to actually truly measure results at the end and give you ROI around inquiries, enrollment, applications, event registrations, and how many of those people were actually pushed through the funnel or exposed to commercials during the process, during the marketing process.
What have you noticed? What is the, one of the best streaming providers out there for Gen Z?
We see consistently a lot of the free platforms come up more and more. So Roku is a big one. Roku is really, they have gone into the market full force with both just dove in with both feet. And they are really capturing a lot of the market share out there with their free streaming. As well as we see a lot of Pluto, Tubi, Samsung free. But, you know, you get Hulu comes up a lot, Paramount, Peacock, they come up pretty consistently. We still see a lot of like VH1, MTV that come up as well. I know, really funny. I'm sure it's a lot of the reality show stuff that they're watching.
Yeah, MTV. I don't know the last time I watched MTV, but it's been a while. So when I grew up, when MTV first came out, it was actually music television. They played videos and songs, and now it's, I think it's just a bunch of reality stuff.
I know, so, you're dating us, I think. You're dating us.
Yes. But when it comes to performance TV, university can, like you said, target specific audiences more precisely. What are some of the targeting strategies that you suggest that work best for higher ed marketers?
Well, so right now we're in the thick of yield season, right? We're coming up to that. It's important time. So a lot of the conversations this time of year are around driving those accepted students that just haven't deposited yet. And so, you know, you're seeing a lot of list-based strategies right now. So being able to use first-party data to target, I mean, that's, we can do that. You can, the thing about performance television too is that I think the one thing that I try to communicate to people over and over again is that you have to think about your television as just another digital device in your household. So it gives you, because now when you buy a TV, you plug it in, the first thing it asks you to do is connect to the Wi-Fi. As soon as you do that, you are now connected to all the devices in your home, which it gives you, by connecting all those devices, gives you as a marketer the ability to target just like you would with digital advertising. So we've been doing digital now for 13, 14 years, and we've gotten, you know, to a point where it's pretty streamlined and we can use it for, you know, different points within the funnel. So now we're in yield So if you think about the same types of strategies that you would use for yield with digital, we can do it with TV. So list-based targeting, we can also, in terms of precision targeting throughout the year, we can target specific high schools, being able to capture device ID data from high schools, turn around, and then identify houses that those are connected to, put commercials right into the homes. You know, we can do very cool things such as demographic lookalike targeting, where we can then go out and find specific homes that match what the accepted enrolled students look like. But then we can add in other data too. So you can say, great, this is our demographic and look alike, but I only want to focus on maybe these four deciles for discretionary income, or maybe we want to put these parameters around targeting. So we can get really, really granular with what we're doing. And then, you know, just regular specific demographic targeting. So if you said, you know, we want to focus on these top zip codes, or we want to focus on these counties or these states or whatever, and we only want houses that have a 16 to 18 year old, or maybe we're doing graduate targeting and we want to, you know, really hone in on these job titles and things like that. So we're sitting on a wealth of third-party data as well that you can plug into your targeting. So really, sky is the limit when it comes to performance TV. And it's, like I said, it's so similar to digital. There's so much overlap.
So how does performance TV help universities track the direct impact on those TV advertising? How do they measure exactly who actually enrolls from a TV ad? Is there some sort of codes that they scan, or how do you know that they actually went to the website from that commercial?
Yeah, it's so funny that you bring up the Super Bowl, because I'm sure you watched, and there was an ad actually that I thought was genius to have it placed that the University of Wyoming did during the Super Bowl. And the thing that I said when that ad came up, I was like, oh, that's great. They did that with perfect timing around Josh Allen being named the MVP. He played at Wyoming. Like, it was a no-brainer. They should have done it great. But what killed me is that I'm like, okay, they probably paid $8 million for that 30-second spot, and how are they going to measure any of the effectiveness of it, right? How are they going to know? Anecdotally, we can say, yeah, maybe we saw a lift come in. Was it due to that? Maybe, maybe not. So what we're doing is, you know, we're using code. We have a through my exclusive partner, which is TV Scientific. The CEO, Jason Fairchild, is one of my partners in this endeavor, and they have a platform that is patented, that is built to be able to capture when the ads are shown and what people are doing after they see the ad. So the ad is shown, we're able to watch. So during the course of a campaign, we're able to see secondary actions. So what are people doing after they see the ads? Where are they going on your school site? What pages are they visiting? What buttons are they clicking? Are they filling out forms? Are they applying? Anything that you want to track, we can track that, and through the campaign be able to watch all of those things. In addition to how long is it taking people, right, to take that conversion? How many are going within the first hour, within the first day, within the first couple of weeks? And how many times do they have to see your commercial before they actually take an action? And so what's been interesting to watch as we run these campaigns is, you know, we're starting to see some trends emerge in terms of timing, and where it's taking people about 6-7 times on average to see an ad before they take that next action, except when you get into higher intent. So when you look at applications, when you look at RFI forms, these people are already familiar. So it's only taking them maybe 3 times, 4 times of seeing a commercial before they're converting. The other thing that we look at too is throughout the campaign, the more times people are exposed to commercials, what does it do to your other marketing that you're running? And one of the things that we see through what we call halo reports is that the more times people are exposed to a commercial, the engagement that happens through Facebook ads, through Google search, through organic traffic, through email campaigns. And we do see that the more times people are exposed to commercial, we get a lift across the board in all of those other strategies. So it's not just a great standalone strategy, but it is basically a supercharge for your other marketing. And then what we do around the end of the campaign to really measure the effectiveness of it is we'll ask schools, you know, send us over, so here's your campaign started on this date, it went this date, and we'll probably give it a couple extra weeks after the campaign wrapped up. Send us all of your inquiries, event registrations, applications, deposits, anything that you had come in during that time frame. And what we'll be able to do is take those addresses and match them back against our exposure database, because we collect timestamp, we collect exposure, and we'll be able to tell those schools, this is how many of those students were exposed and then took a next step on your website. So we will be able to give them back hard enrollment numbers. You know, if they want to send us student ID, they can then tag that student as being part of the campaign in their CRM. So then being able to kind of measure that, you know, give it an affinity score, measure it all the way through.
Yeah, getting these reports from individuals like you and companies like you is a dream for a marketer when they have to report on the ROI.
Yeah. They love it.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. I would love that too. But what you mentioned is that it affects other marketing channels because of that consistency of the ads, right? Consistency builds familiarity, which then in turn builds trust. Exactly. And then this is when the actions happen. We talked about the Super Bowl. We talked about the $8 million for an ad. Given that many universities have a limited advertising budget, you know?
Yes.
Don't worry,
it doesn't cost $8 million to do this.
Yes. So how can universities ensure that their performance TV's campaigns are both effective and cost efficient? And what are some of the strategies that you tell them to? What works, right? What kind of ads work with the audience?
Yeah, super great question there too. And that is a question I get all the time, is this going to cost me an arm and a leg? And to be honest with you, you'd be really surprised about the cost of it. It's very similar to digital. I would say, you know, we work with schools of all budgets and sizes because, you know, there has to be a space for everybody. Not everybody has $1 million budgets. Not everybody has $500,000 budgets. It doesn't even have to be close to that. I mean, if you're a smaller school and you want to test it out, you absolutely can do test campaigns. I mean, we just started, we did a test campaign with Arizona State University to push some enrollment for them. And they were, which it was like a short month test campaign. They were super happy. And so they're going to move forward with some other campaigns now, working on like yield and things like that. Pretty much all of my clients that I have really started because they were new to performance television. Really, you know, in the past, streaming in itself has just been kind of an afterthought. I mean, marketers know anecdotally that they need to do it, but they're usually just saying, oh yeah, chuck some money at Hulu and have it just run in the back end. And we know that it probably works, but we have no idea really. But then the other thing too is that you're only getting on that particular channel. The way that we run things is we set it up just like you would with a digital campaign. And instead of being about channel-based advertising, it's about audience and behaviors. And we're going out and finding them where they're watching and where they're streaming. But, you know, you can start anywhere. We don't really have a minimum, I would say. The minimum question comes to, is it going to be a viable campaign? Is it going to do for you what you're really looking for? Is it going to boost application? Is it going to boost inquiries? Is it going to boost web traffic and all of that? So, you know, you can start small and just grow. It's great to be able to do test campaigns, so then you can take that ROI and prove it to the powers that be to ask for additional budget. And I think, you know, so I have schools that are running $10,000 campaigns and I have schools that are running $1 million campaigns. So it really spans the gamut and just kind of depends on the audience, who you're trying to reach, what you're trying to do. But the great thing about it is that you can use it, you know, really throughout the year at different points. Is, you know, run it for 3 months during yield, kind of, if you want, run it for summer melt, if you want, run it for senior search and then applications, and then transfer, graduate, different programs, different cohort start times, even for alumni and advancement too. That's something that we don't talk about a lot, but this is a no-brainer for advancement people trying to do fundraising and things like that. In terms of really good creative, the thing that I think you really need to remember as a marketer out there who's starting to kind of dip your toe into performance TV is that, you know, and I like to say this, in that you're getting into someone's living room. So if you had 30 seconds where someone invited you in to talk about your school, and that's all you, they opened the door and said, 30 seconds, tell me what I want to hear. You're not just going to hand them a picture of the school or hold it up and play some music, you know, be like John Cusack and Say Anything, where he's holding up the radio, you know, that. And that's branding commercials really have been that for so long. It's music, it's a flyover of the school, it's a couple taglines, and that's it. And there is a place for that in branding campaigns because it does build that affinity. But when you're using it throughout the funnel, You have 30 seconds to communicate what could be an otherwise very complicated message. Apply now. You know, confirm your deposit, you know, transfer. This degree is going to change your life. Be a part of our family, whatever you want to say. But it's important that schools have graphic overlay on these videos because a lot of people will mute commercials when they come on. These ads are unskippable. So the only way you can get off of it is by turning the channel or turning the TV off. And we have in higher education extremely high completion rates on these commercials. So we're talking like 96, 98%. I've even seen 100% completion rates on commercials, which is outstanding. So if they mute it, you want to have graphics so that they know what they're seeing, right? Mm-hmm. And vice versa. If you get up and go to the bathroom, go to the kitchen, walk through your house, whatever, you also want to have someone talking to you so that they can hear what the message is about. And I will say this as well. So something else for marketers to remember is that, especially when it comes to list targeting, you have to remember this. About 75% of households are streaming. There is still roughly about 25 to 30% that have not cut the cord yet. And that number is you know, it's growing, which is great. We love to see that. But what you want to do is, and what we recommend to clients when we run these campaigns, is let's take a optimized version of your commercial for social. And let's run in tandem with your streaming campaign. Let's push those ads into Meta. Let's push them into TikTok. Let's push them into Snapchat as well. So that anybody that happens to not be streaming, they're still going to get the magic of your commercial. They're just going to get it in a different platform. Mm-hmm. So that we do recommend doing that as well. The other thing that's really key, and I find a lot of schools are running their own paid search campaigns, which is totally fine, or they're having an agency run it for them. Make sure, you're gonna probably think in your head, John, this is like a no-brainer, but you would be surprised. There's a lot of schools that aren't doing this. Make sure that when you're running a paid search campaign and you're going to do performance TV, that you have a really good, not just unbranded keyword search terms, but branded as well, that you're buying on your own name. Yep, great. You might have good SEO and you might come up first, you know, all the time in the SERP, but making sure that you have those branded keywords term, because the first thing that people do when they see your commercials, they pick up their phone and they search on you, right? Yep. And most of us click on that top ad. So you want to own that space.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning into the show today. I hope you enjoyed it so far. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast, but were just overwhelmed by the sheer amount of work that goes into it? I get it. After producing over 100 episodes for the Education Marketing Leader, there's a lot of time that goes into this, time that most of us simply don't have. And that's where the Education Marketing Leader podcast production service comes into play. Me and my team will take care of the heavy lifting, from scripting, strategy, editing, to promoting. All you have to do is show up, record your episode, share your expertise, connect with your audience, and build your personal brand. So if you've been sitting on a podcast idea, today is the time to act. Reach out to me via DM on LinkedIn, and we'll get you started. And now, back to the episode. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So lots to unpack here. You mentioned test campaigns with Arizona State University, because at the beginning, when you get into this and you don't have the ROI and you have to convince your bosses to use a little bit of the budget for performance ads, the mindset is, what does it cost, right? But then, as you see the performance and you see the results, the mindset from what does it cost should switch to what's it worth. Because if the ad pays for itself tenfold, it's really a no-brainer, and then you can go up from there. And the other thing you mentioned is that the repurposing part of the nicely polished ads that you have on TV to put them on social to get the most out of the investment. What I've noticed we've talked about the Super Bowl. During the Super Bowl, during the game, the commercials are 30-second slots, right? But then afterwards, you can see the same commercial, but it's cut to about 15 seconds, I've noticed. And it's a good way to repurpose that on social media as well there. So I really think that's exciting for higher ed institutions. And you also mentioned that it's a captive audience. We talked about this. This is the term you used in the pre-interview when we talked about this episode, because I asked you to compare it to YouTube ads. And YouTube ads are skippable. And as somebody who watches some YouTube videos, I skip the ads because I'm like, I'm in the middle of a video. I don't want to see this. And also as somebody who watches TV streams, if I see a commercial break and I see it's 90 seconds, I may run to the kitchen. I do keep the sound on. So instead of, you know, you selling the ad or your school through the TV as like a, you're reading up a brochure, you want to tell a story to get that emotional aspect of the listener in that term, right? As they walk away to, exactly. to build some sort of affinity with them and familiarity and trust. So that's also something I thought it was pretty brilliant of in your part. And yes, 75% are streaming. I mean, I'm one who cut the cord a long time ago. Yeah. I stream. And, I think this is like, it's going to be the future of higher education advertising or advertising at large.
It is. Yeah. And if you follow anything outside, you know, I like to follow what's happening outside of higher mm-hmm. education because, you know, and this is the thing that I keep hammering home to is that, you know, we are late adopters always of things. Mm-hmm. And there's a multitude of reasons behind that. You know, some of it's budget. Some of it is that I think one of the biggest things with marketers is that in especially in higher ed is no one wants to be the first one to make a mistake. Right. And I think, you know, our jobs as marketers, enrollment people is that, you know, your job hinges on performance and students. And so you're always scared to jump on something new and fresh. I mean, I, you know, when I present at conferences, one of the things I say to people is that, you know, I'm going to take you back to the future, you know, 14 years ago when digital marketing was brand new to higher education. And, you know, at that time I worked for Carnegie and we were the first ones to bring digital to higher ed. And I laugh at the presentations that we gave back then that were so basic. And, you know, as digital marketers now, you would look at that and laugh because the majority of the presentation was about retargeting, which is such a basic element of campaigns. But back then it was brand new. And there was this, you know, you would get this reaction from people. They would look at you like you had two heads and they would say, well, that sounds cool, but it's really creepy. And I don't want to be your guinea pig. I don't want to be the first one to do it. And I would say to people, you know, the train is moving fast and this is the direction that we're going. So you either need to get on the train now. And the schools that did are the ones that are thriving. And the ones that were late in the game, it took them a long time to catch up to things. And we are in a super crowded space with digital marketing now. Everybody's doing it. And it's back then it was very easy to stand out when you did it. And now it's much harder to get out of the noise. Yeah. I would liken connected TV / OTT, performance TV, whatever you want to call it today, is in the same exact space. It's deja vu. It's where we were 14 years ago. And we're going in that same direction. This is just a newer, shinier train that people need to get on. And those that are going to be early to the game and early adopters are going to be the ones that are winning. And I will tell you this, I'll give a quick plug for what we've done with some clients. Every single school that we are working with right now, they're up in applications. They are up across the board in applications. Schools that we just started working with a couple months ago that were way down are now up. Schools that we did yield campaigns for last year and late enrollment campaigns throughout the summer that weren't making their number, made their number. And came back to me and said, we know it was Ambio because you were the only thing that we added that we hadn't been doing in the past. So there is something to be said for the magic of television and commercials. Right? It does exactly what it's intended to do.
And that is just such a great case study. If you see it for yourself, that it works for the institutions and that is the only change they made in their enrollment efforts. And it comes back positively. That is just, and word spreads around in higher ed, right? It's a big industry, but it's small because people talk at conferences. So if you get that sort of result, I always say when I go to industry conferences with our company, Hannon Hill, I try to, at breakfast or lunch, I try to sit with people that are current clients and we talk about our company and they basically sell the product for us if you're in their space. Because they rave about it if you do a good job, right? And then you exactly. have the prospects sitting on the same table. They're like, oh, really? Okay. Then you can say, and you don't even have to sell them. You just tell them, hey, come, we're booth 523.
Exactly. Hi. Exactly. And I think people who know me in this industry, I've been in this industry for so long, I'm not a salesy person. I'm not. Mm-hmm. If you have a good product and a good service and you understand the higher ed market, you understand the challenges, you understand what takes to make a good strategy, people will trust you and they'll come to you for that and say, you know, if you're doing this, I trust you. It must be really good. And that's really, you know, my first year doing this. So I started it in October of 2023, really didn't start talking to clients until February of 24, because we built out the website over the winter and things like that. So really, it's been a full year of working with clients. And I will say the first couple clients I got were reaching out to people I've known over the years and just saying, hey, give me a chance to show you this. Let me tell you what it is. Give me a chance. And they were like, yeah, okay, here's a few bucks. You can try it for us. And that's exactly what happened. They talked to their friends. They talked to this person. They told this person, you know, so on and so forth. We started having case studies that we can share. It was challenging last year at conferences to get people to come to my presentations because they have no idea what performance TV is, or they think TV, just marketing, branding, it's not for me, we can't measure, you know, everything like that. So I'm starting to see now this swell of interest because people are talking, because we do have real ROI to show, and it is just gaining momentum. And all of the clients that we've worked with over the last year have all renewed, have all expanded what they're doing. And they're like, this now has become a no-brainer for us to include in our strategy. So it's been a super fun ride over the last year. And I'm just really excited about the trajectory that we have going right now and that more people are finally talking about it.
Congratulations. Yes. Retention is the golden ticket right there. You want to have the retention. You know, it's one thing to get somebody on to try you out, but to renew, that really speaks volumes about an organization. That's what we do at Hannon Hill as well, with our year-over-year 96% retention rates, which it's unheard of as well. Awesome. But you talked about personalization a little bit earlier, and you talked about 14 years ago, people are saying it's creepy, and I still hear that. You know, personalization is creepy. Is it really creepy if you are welcome to retarget that particular person, right? Because there are situations where you're busy and you see an ad or you see a commercial, right? And you're in a moment, you cannot go and do the action that you needed to take or would like to take. And you walk away and we're all busy and we're all forgetting things. But sometimes when I know that I liked a particular product and it gets served to me on a silver platter on a different platform, I'm actually excited about that because, like, oh yes, this is something that I actually needed, that I wanted. Thank you for reminding me about this. So it's not all bad, the retargeting efforts. So let's talk about retargeting as we land this plane here. How can higher ed marketers use retargeting to keep their messages front and center for prospective students throughout the decision-making process?
Well, you know, you can do regular retargeting through all of your social platforms as well, but we're also retargeting with streaming. So I think that's a big key. And one thing that we see, and something that I have always been a proponent of with retargeting. So, you know, the funny thing is with retargeting, what we always did back in the day was we retarget off of the admissions page, right? Because anybody that comes to admissions, you're assuming that person has intent, they're an interested student or a parent. You're not going to go there if you're going to, you know, buy tickets for the sports game, right? So it's pretty safe to retarget off that admissions page. A lot of companies, when they started getting into digital marketing, following suit and realizing there was money to be made there, would only retarget off of maybe their emails or their landing pages. And there's still a lot of companies that will only do that, retarget off of those pages. You know, in my opinion, it's better to retarget off of the admissions page if you're doing a campaign like performance television, because you're going to get in front of anybody who is a potential student outside of even your targeting areas. Maybe you're only targeting these three counties, but you have students that are interested over here. They come to your admissions page. Why not push them through the funnel? Why not use that same marketing tactic and stay in front of them? And so what we see, what's really interesting, Chris, with a lot of these campaigns is we might be doing an undergrad campaign, and the schools come back and are like, you know, this is really cool because we're seeing graduate leads come in as well. And we've noticed that we've had a couple grad leads come in, or vice versa. We're doing a grad campaign, but we're seeing a lift on the undergrad side of things. And I'm like, well, because you're getting into these households, you're getting in front of parents, you're getting in front of adults and students, right? And so TV, again, does something around the brand and generates interest. And the retargeting piece is important. I actually had one of my old clients, who's a friend of mine, she texted me the other night and she was like, okay, I think I just experienced performance TV. And I was like, why? What happened? And she's like, well, I was looking for a new vet clinic where I live. And she's like, the next day I saw a commercial for this vet clinic in my area. And I was like, oh yeah, that's 100% what happened. Like, you got retargeted. And that's the great thing about it, right? So we can do that for people. So I would say, you know, retargeting is the most basic of basic elements that you should have running across the board no matter what and what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But we include it all the time in our campaigns. So we're retargeting off of that admissions page. But then also, when someone is exposed to a commercial in their home, we then can stay in front of them with display ads as well. So programmatic retargeting as well, so that they start to see those display ads. Because like you said, they might see the commercial and go, oh, that's awesome. And then they might be busy, they might be in the kitchen, they might have just heard it, you know, whatever it is. But then the next day they see those ads corresponding with that. And it's, you know, we see a lot of, you know, because people don't really click on ads. They never have. They don't. You don't see a high, I mean, you see an okay click-through rate for retargeting, right? But most of that comes through view-through conversions. The great thing is we track those view-through conversions exactly the same way we track the TV interactions. So we can also see the secondary actions of what they're doing after they see those display ads too. So data, trackability, ROI, that's the name of the game no matter what you do.
100%. You got to show the ROI. So looking into the future, I know you mentioned earlier when you worked for Carnegie, you did that 14 years ago, presenting on things that were novel. Looking forward, what trends do you see emerging in higher ed marketing when it comes to TV ads?
Well, my hope, and this is, well, there's a couple different things. So there's a couple things we're working on at Ambio, and there's a couple things in the market that they're working on as well. So, you know, there was always, you know, the 14 years I was at Carnegie, there was always like a shiny new toy, I felt like, every year that we would talk about. That's going to start happening with CTV. One of the things that I would love to see happen, and they're testing it right now, but it's very, very clunky, is interactive TV ads, right? Mm. Giving people, because right now, that's the thing I always tell everyone too, is that, you know, as we run these campaigns, you're tracking secondary actions. What are they doing after they see the commercial? We're never going to be that last click. We'll never be that conversion, because you can't click on a TV commercial. You can click on OTT ads. So if it's on their phone and they see the commercial, great, you can click on those. But anything that's on the TV, you can't click on it. They're working on that right now. It's in the works with CTV to start making commercials more interactive. Think about how you have a carousel ad on some of your platforms. Think about that for TV. If you could have a carousel type video where, what do you want? Choose your own adventure. What do you want to see? You know, do you want to see something about, do you want to see the campus? Do you want to see something about visiting? Do you want to apply? Whatever. That will be happening sometime in the future. People might say to you, like, oh, I see interactive ads all the time. It's fine. Yeah. Usually you've got to pick up your remote, rewind, click on what. So it's clunky, right? The other thing is that what we're working on the Ambio side is trying to create an area where you can do still direct channel placement. So right now it's about audience and behavior, which is awesome. Go out and find those people where they are. But being able to dive in through like something like Roku, which I call a suitcase of channels, right? There are so many options within Roku that on the reports, it really just shows you Roku right now. It's harder to dive into that. But to get to a point where we can get all the way down to that channel level on those platforms and say, we want to target people who are watching NBC Universal or that are watching CBS. We can do some of that right now. Getting to the attribution piece with that is a little bit more challenging. And so that's what we're working on internally, is really being able to cultivate that list of channels or start seeing where people are watching and where your students are really engaging, and then creating like lookalike audiences of channels and things like that. That's where I see the future going with this. It's just going to get even more granular, just like digital.
Yeah, very exciting. The future is personalization, and TV plays a big part in that. Jennifer, thank you so much for being a part of the Education Marketing Leader podcast. How can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more?
Sure. They can. You can go to my website. There's a form there. You can click Meet with Jen. I'm happy to meet with anybody. Or send me an email at jloncar, L-O-N-C-H-A-R, at ambioedu.com. I and it's not going to be a sales pitch. You can just call me and ask me questions about performance TV, higher ed, strategy, whatever you want. You can see that I love talking about it. We're going to talk all day about it. So I really appreciate you having me here. I mean, just as a business owner with a new business, I really appreciate any exposure. So it means a lot to me. I appreciate it, Chris.
Well, happy to do so. I will be sure to tag you in the LinkedIn recap as well and during the, in all the show notes so people can find you easily. So thank you, Jennifer. All the best to you and your business. I know it's going to take off.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Take care. And that's a wrap for this episode, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to Education Marketing Leader Podcast this week. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to share it with your friends and your network. And if you ever thought about starting your own podcast, now that you listen to one and you got inspired, reach out to me via DM. We'd love to help you launch your own. We'll take care of everything for you, the scripting, the strategy, the editing, the distribution. All you have to do is show up, connect with the audience, and build your personal brand. So if you're ready for it, let's chat. And for everybody else, we'll see you next time at the Education Marketing Leader Podcast. Take care, friends.